received my second COVID vaccine shot the other day, and it was not without its complications. On the way home, my vision got real blurry. While I was home, my vision was blurry. I called the clinic. They said, well, you better come back in. I drove back. My vision was blurry the whole way. I walked in, and they said, sir, you forgot your glasses. I had you worried, didn't I? We're praying that our vision will be clear as we look at this extraordinary challenge that we are facing still. I don't know where we are in it. You don't know. I'm praying we're in the fourth quarter. But I do think that it's appropriate for us to examine what we've gone through and are going through and see if we can learn the lessons. So I've entitled our Easter sermon this, Lessons Learned in a Pandemic. I'd like to share with you a couple of paragraphs from a sermon preached by the Reverend Francis Grimke at the 15th Street Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. We know now, perhaps as we have never known before, the meaning of the terms pestilence and plague and epidemic since we have been passing through this terrible scourge. With its enormous death rate, its consequent wretchedness and misery, every part of the land has felt its deadly touch. It has stricken down such large numbers that it has been difficult to care for them properly, overcrowding all of our hospitals. It has been difficult at times to get coffins enough in which to place the dead, and workers enough to dig graves fast enough in which to bury them. It has been necessary to close the schools, theaters, churches, to forbid public gathering within doors as well as outdoors. What is the meaning of it all? What ought it to mean to us? Is it to come and go and we be no wiser or better for it? Surely God has had a purpose in it, and it is our duty to find out as far as we may what that purpose is and to try to profit from it. Now someone is thinking, look, Cato, why are you reading someone else's sermon? I never heard of the guy. Of what profit is it to me to listen to someone else's message? Besides, these are valuable Easter Sunday moments. Why would you use them to share someone else's message? Well, the answer is found in a detail that I've yet to disclose to you. I mentioned the name of the preacher, the name of the city, the name of the church, but I didn't tell you the date that the sermon was preached. November 13th, 1918, of the Spanish flu epidemic. And what we are facing now, they were facing then. Isn't it remarkable that just as they faced fear and a reminder of the brevity of life and the fragility of health, so we have been facing the same today. We may think this challenge is unique to our generation, but it's not. God in His sovereignty chooses on occasion to permit a challenge, to permit a struggle, a calamity to come upon the earth. We don't know the reasons why, but are we not wiser to at least try to find out? I'd like to pose to you the same question that Reverend Grimke posed to his congregation way back in 1918. He asked this question, what is the meaning of it all? What ought it to mean to us? Is it to come? Is it to go and we be no wiser, no better for it? Surely God had a purpose in it, and it is our duty to find out as far as we may what that purpose is and try to profit by it. Reverend Grimke went on to answer that question with seven answers. Best I can tell, he preached for at least 90 minutes. Don't worry, I won't. But I am going to try to answer the question with two suggestions, just two. Here's number one. In difficult days, depend upon your Father to help you. Is this not a lesson we have learned in the pandemic? That we must turn to our Heavenly Father for help, and we must continue to do so. According to the United Kingdom's leading psychiatrist, the COVID-19 pandemic has unleashed the greatest threat to mental health since the Second World War. with its impact expected to reverberate for years after the crisis ends. A combination of the disease itself, its economic implications and social consequences will be ravaging the mental health of people. Nearly 10 million people, including 1.5 million children, people fretting over uncertainty about jobs, housing, and the economic hardship will only add to the long-term effects of this pandemic. Are you among them? Are you among them? I know someone is. I know I'm speaking to somebody who finds themselves worn out, weary, and wounded after this difficult year. Has the sorrow taken its toll? Has the struggle taken your joy? Have the problems of life pilfered the life out of your life and you don't know where to turn? I mean, you just barely staggered in here today. And if you're watching online, it was all you could do to just turn on the set or open the computer. It's a tough, tough time. If that is you, I'm so sorry. I really am. I know it's tough. It stinks. But I'm begging you, with every ounce of energy I can muster and every prayer I can pray, don't give up. The anaconda of hopelessness has wrapped itself around the lives of far too many and squeezed the life out. Don't give up. Don't be among them. Don't give up. Look up. Look up. This is the promise of Easter. This is the promise of the Resurrection Sunday. On that Resurrection Sunday, that morning, their situation was utterly hopeless. The Christ that they had followed was nothing more than a corpse. No breath, no heartbeat. He was 3 days dead in a borrowed tomb. And the followers, they were hiding in every available corner and cupboard in Jerusalem for fear of a cross that would bear their name. Their world was broken. Their hearts were broken. They had left everything to follow Jesus. The fishermen had left their nets. The tax collectors had left their tables. They had left everything to follow Jesus, and now it appeared that Jesus had returned the favor and he had left them. Thanks to three nails and a cross, the light of the world had gone dark, or so it seemed. The Savior of humanity couldn't save himself, or so it seemed. All hope was a hoax. The Redeemer was gone. The evildoer of the world, the devil, had finally done away with Christ, or so it seemed. But just when all joy was lost, just when all joy seemed gone, the greatest plot twist in the history of the divine drama occurred. And Jesus stood up right in the center of the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and he placed his heel on the head of the devil. And he stood up and he walked out of the tomb. And when the women came to anoint what they thought would be a dead body of Jesus, look what the angel said to them. He isn't here. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see the place where his body was lying. Now, why does this matter to you so many years later? Why is this important to us? Here's the answer. The Apostle Paul said, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. Look at this. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Church, the same power that called Christ out of the tomb will call you out of your gloom. He will. You do not face this challenge alone. That's alive from the pit of hell. Your Father is here to help you. When I was 12 years old, I took on a summer assignment of caring for people's houses. There were three families, friends of our family, who were going to vacation for a month together. Their houses sat side by side by side, and they needed somebody to keep an eye on things while they were gone. And so they asked me, well, I better correct that. They asked my father to ask me. And my father didn't ask me. He told me. I didn't want to do it. I mean, that's a lot to do. Cut grass, water the garden, care for the pets, make sure the house is locked up. That's too much. Besides, I had Little League. I had a bicycle to ride. I couldn't come up with any more excuses. They got no traction with my father. Next thing I knew, I was sitting with each of those three families, making a list of all the things that I would have to do for a whole month in the middle of the summer. For the first time in my life, I recalled this emotion as I was leaving their houses, coming home to mine. I recalled I was feeling overwhelmed. Now forgive me, I know my weight is nothing compared to the one that you're facing today, but remember, I was just 12 years old. And there were gardens to care for. There was grass to cut. There were locks to check. Why? One of the families had a goldfish. I'd never fed a goldfish. I had visions of coming in and finding that little goldfish floating on its side. From either being overfed or underfed. What if I mess it up? But there was no getting out now. I remember after Little League practice coming home, and it was time to first day on the job in my unsolicited career. I jumped on my bike and I pedaled as hard as I could, and I've been again thinking of all these things that I was going to have to do. And just when I was about to discover the meaning of the word panic attack, something wonderful happened. I pedaled onto the street of the three houses and I looked up, and there it was. Parked in front of the center house. Big, white, dirty from a day in the oil field. My dad's pickup truck. He was there to help me. He was standing in the driveway. The garage door was open. The lawnmower was out. He said, "You go ahead and cut the grass. I'll water the gardens." And with that phrase, everything changed. Everything changed. I could face the challenge because my father was there to face it with me. You can face this challenge, my friend, because your father is here to face it with you. You are not alone. He has not abandoned you. He is here to face it with you. You simply need to ask for his help. So let's do. Let's do. I'd like to offer a prayer for anybody who is simply worn out, maybe physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted. You feel like you've been fighting a hurricane over the last few months and you really need a blessing from the Father. If that's you, just stand where you are. Just stand where you are, and I'm going to offer a prayer on your behalf. Is there anybody who would like to receive that prayer? Please don't be embarrassed. Just stand up. We're going to pray for you. Lord, you know the hearts, you know the stories, you know the situations of each and every one of these people. You know the challenges that have come their way, the headwinds into which they have been riding. Oh, dear Lord, please, God of great mercy and kindness, I beg you on their behalf, come and bless them today. Just bless them today. If you don't take away their challenge, at least take away their fear of it. Let them know that you're here with them and that you'll walk with them in the paths that await them. Oh, bless you, Lord, for these who are crying out to you, who are doing what the blind men on the side of the road did. They just cried out to Jesus, and Jesus reached over and touched them. Father, reach out and touch each and every person, wherever they are, if they're watching online. Let a blessing be felt by them. Thank you, Lord. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Is that not a good lesson to learn in this pandemic? And that is, in difficult days, lean into your Father. Trust Him to help you. But there's one other lesson that we need to mention, and that is, in your final days, depend upon your Father to save you. We've just received the greatest wake-up call of our generation. COVID has been a wake-up call from heaven, reminding us, each and every one of us, no one is bulletproof. No one is bulletproof. Apart from the return of Christ, you and I will do what billions have done since the beginning of time, and that is, we'll take a final breath. Our eyes will close one final time. Our hearts will stop beating, and we will pass from this life into the next. Now, for those who are unprepared, that is an unwelcome thought, a thought they spend their life avoiding. But for those who are prepared, those who have made friends with God, those who have trusted Jesus Christ in the power of the resurrection, it may not be the thought you want to think, but it's a thought you're not afraid to think, because you have faith. You have heard the promise of Jesus Christ, the one He made on the night before His crucifixion. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. When our daughters were small, it was not uncommon that they would fall asleep downstairs on the couch. And I did what any father would do. I'd pick them up and I'd carry them upstairs. And were they to awaken the next morning and be asked the question, "How did you get here?" Their answer would be, "Well, I guess my father carried me." I've got such good news for you, my friend. And that is, upon your passing from this life into the next, your Heavenly Father will carry you upstairs. And He will carry you into your eternal rest. Is that not great news? He will carry you. Jesus said, "I will come and get you." I will, not angels, not apostles, not any of the heavenly hosts. He said, "That job is my job. I will come and get you and take you to be with me so that you can be with me where I am." He will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. This promise became especially precious for our dear friend Ann Chandler, who right now is in the presence of Christ. But just a few short weeks ago, she was right here. Long-time, long-term member of our congregation. Heaven is richer and earth is poorer in her passing. Because of COVID restrictions, no one was allowed to go into the hospital and visit her, which makes it nothing short of a miracle that somehow her dear friend Cindy Zahodnik was able to get into Ann's room and spend precious moments with her the night before Ann passed away. Ann was struggling. Her pain was so severe she could hardly breathe and scarcely talk. And so Cindy offered to sing a song. She said, would you like to sing a song of worship? And Ann said yes. And so Cindy began to sing this beautiful song written by Chris Tomlin. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. Much to Cindy's surprise, Ann began to sing with her. Her voice was so weak, but her voice was giving praise to the Heavenly Father. May God give all of us the courage and conviction to worship on our deathbed. After the song, Cindy asked Ann if she would like to pray. And of course, Ann said yes, and Cindy offered a long prayer aware that Ann was in great discomfort. After the prayer, Cindy noticed that Ann was staring off into the distance, away from Cindy. And she heard Ann say something, but she couldn't determine what it was, just a brief phrase. And then Ann turned and she spoke to Cindy, now in a stronger voice. And she said, "Would you say for me, ready to roll?" And so Cindy looked in the direction that Ann had been looking and said, "Ready to roll." And that's when it dawned on Cindy, Ann was not hallucinating. She was seeing her heavenly host, her precious Savior coming for her. And she was saying she was ready to roll. And soon thereafter, she passed into heaven. What kind of courage is this? That finds the courage to sing and thank God for the love of Jesus on a deathbed. What kind of courage is this that is staring into the great cavern of death saying, "I'm ready to go"? Let me tell you what kind of courage that is, my friend. It's the kind of courage that the Lord Jesus gives to any person who will place their trust and faith in Him. Amen? Any person. I don't care how much bravado you have today, how much swagger you have today, how much confidence you have today. If you don't have courage in the day of death, you don't have it. I don't care how you might appear today. If you have faith in Christ, you'll have the courage that you need to pass from this life into the next. I began this message by sharing with you a couple of paragraphs from a sermon preached by Reverend Grimke 100 years ago, and I'd like to conclude my sermon with his urgent appeal. He said to his church, "You have come out of this epidemic alive while thousands have perished. Are you going to spend the rest of your days in the service of sin and Satan or in the service of God? You know what you ought to do. Do the right thing." I ask the same question. Are you going to spend the rest of your days ignoring the good God and the great invitation that He gives to you? Do the right thing. Learn the lessons of this pandemic. Quite honestly, the vast majority of the people in the world have not learned. Tragically, so many people have the same attitude toward eternity that they had prior to it. But there's a precious few who are learning the lessons from this. Are you among them? I'd like to pray for some people. I have no idea if anybody's going to stand up at this invitation, but it's on my heart to pray for people who say, "You know what? I'm ready to come back to God. I had drifted away. I had wandered away." Do we have anybody who can relate to the parable of the lost coin, or the lost sheep, or the lost son, and you're ready to be found, you're ready to come back, and this parable taught you a lesson? You had drifted. You know, the great tragedy of drifting is not in drifting, it's in never coming back to the shore. All of us have drifted. Is there anybody who needs to come back? If so, stand up. Stand up, sir. Anybody? I want to pray with you. I want to thank God for you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to thank God for you. I want to celebrate just like the angels. Anyone else? Anyone else? I ask you to make a public return because Satan's attack has been public and we're standing against him. Is there anybody else? Amen. God bless you. Lord, let your mercy now be upon these, your children who are saying, "I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I may have wandered, but you have called me back, and here I am. I'm signing up again. I'm re-enlisting. I'm trusting you, Father. I'm trusting you." Lord, we know your grace is sufficient to forgive us for our sins, and we thank you that these children of yours are calling out to you. Lord, receive them yet again. Thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be seated. God bless you. Amen. I love this brother who stood and he had a reflector on his jacket, so he was standing out. is good to stand out. What about people who are ready to make a first-time commitment to Christ? I'm going to offer us in the most simple of prayer, because really salvation is a simple thing. We trust Jesus. I'm going to offer a simple prayer. I'm going to ask the whole church to say it with me. Most of you will be saying it for the 100th time, maybe the 1,000th. But somebody's going to be saying it for the very first time, either online or right here in the sanctuary. Let's say it together. Dear Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. I confess that I'm a sinner, but I confess that you're a Savior. And I give my heart and life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.